Welcome to Cafe Chisme. I'm Franco, and I'm here with
Vicky,
Ivan,
and Myra.
Brew your coffee and join us in today's chisme.
In this week's episode, we continue our conversations from last week about the evolution of friendships in our 30s. We start off by asking Vicky if she feels any pressure from society or social media when it comes to ideal friendships. Thank you for coming back and enjoy the chisme.
Well, do you feel like there's any societal pressure or like social media pressure from the outside that says this is what your friendships should be like?
I think it depends on how you take it. I have seen it where it's pressure, not that I feel like I'm inclined to do those things, but maybe a friend of mine sees the same things and they feel inclined that we should be doing these things, just as an example, right? But I think the other part of it is it's unrealistic expectations, right? Little things. It could be the littlest things. Everything that we're seeing isn't reality. And yep. So,
yes.
You know, it's like, then we lose sight of reality. What is reality? Well, I will say personally, some of the best friendships ultimately stem from long, late night conversations that just came out of nowhere. I've had some amazing conversations with people around a campfire, and like, we just became like the best of friends. I remember us, like all four of us, we became really good friends during a really late night conversation, because I think if you can have like 3+ hour conversation and you were all excited every minute of it, that's some real friendship there. Because I don't know about you, but if I don't care for the conversation or the person that I'm with, I'm not going to sit there for 3 hours, you know? I think there are societal pressures. Some people are not fazed by it, but unfortunately some people are. And then those people could be your friends. And so it's the pressure maybe from the friend, and it could be an unspoken pressure that you realize. You're like, okay, they're expecting me. Look, they texted me, they're expecting me to respond right now, and they're expecting this out of me, because that's just the expectations that are out there.
I like that. Well said.
See, I'm not very active on social media, so I don't really get that pressure. No, this is why I asked, because like,
I'm trying not to be at this point.
Like, one of my best friends, we lived together. It was probably the hardest times of it was probably tested our friendship.
The people, no matter who they are.
But that man loves me, I'll tell you that, because he did not kill me. So it could have very easily many nights choked me in my sleep, but he didn't. But one of the things that I remember the most that impacted me was he would get home from work, and I'd already be at home because we had different work schedules. And he'd be like, dude, get off your phone. I was like, what do you mean? He's like, dude, every time I come here, you're on Facebook scrolling for like an hour. Get off your phone. And I was like, there's no way I'm doing it that much. So I downloaded an app to test it. Man, my watch time was horrible. So I was like, yeah, I need to get off Facebook. And so that kind of sparked this whole not being very active in social media, which is why I'm not very active in social media today. I'm somewhat active, but not as active as I used to be. And so I don't see what you guys are talking about. I don't see that, oh, you know, Kendall and Kylie went to Paris and now everybody has to go to Paris, you know, whatever. I don't see that. So
I'm going to give you an example. Do you ever, for example, when we were out for dinner, do you feel inclined to take a picture?
No.
Do you understand why anyone would feel inclined to take a picture of that moment?
Absolutely. I understand it. But it's capturing the moment, right?
To me,
it's like I don't feel that pressure because I'm living in the moment. Yeah. Now, am I wrong for not wanting to take a picture? I don't know.
Well, you're a special type.
Let me ask you a question. Yeah. Do you feel the urge to take a picture?
Never.
Are you sure? You're never. Very special.
I will.
Like, pose. You know what? This is a really good moment.
I will. Yeah. Like, okay. Like, for example, tonight, the hibachi, right? Like, I recorded that whole thing, and this lady says something funny about Hawaii, but I'm not going to post that on TikTok. Like, yeah, I could get the views or whatever. But at the end of the day, it's like, I don't feel the pressure to post that anywhere. That's a memory for me.
Yeah. And I think we take the pictures for ourselves. But there is people that feel like, I have to create content. I have to post what I'm doing and what I'm eating and all this stuff.
And they always look happy.
Yeah. Yeah. And for us, I think it's more like we want to capture that moment and then share it if we choose to share it. But we don't feel like a pressure like, oh, I have to for everybody to see.
Yeah, see, I like taking pictures, and I like making videos to capture the moment. Like to me, like my gym videos, like I love tracking the progress because like I want to be able to look back at it and realize,
we even talked about it, like get the before, like the before. And he was like, no, he didn't end up taking the before picture. And I'm like, I've already seen like such a difference. And I'm like,
but I do, it's a good, like it's even motivate. Yes. It's motivation for myself. It's like, you know what? Like all that time, all that effort, you know, consistency, like it did not go like wasted. It was not wasted. And you know, it's there. So I like documenting, taking pictures of like important times in my life.
And I it's like a motivation, like instead of looking at somebody on social media and be like, oh, I want to look like them. You'd be like, look at a picture of yourself and be like, man, when I was like, when I look like this, I was healthy and I was very active and I was, you know what I mean? And like, use that as your motivation. Like, don't feel the pressure from other people. Like, look at the pictures of you when you were at your best, like you're like health wise and stuff like that, and use that as your motivation.
But do you really want to take a picture?
No, he really, I'll answer. He really doesn't.
You don't like pictures? You don't like pictures?
I took a lot of pictures growing up. My mom would make us take a lot of pictures growing up. So
that's me. That's,
no. And that's fine. Like I understand it. Like, especially when you had the Kodak, you know, you put the film in, you rig, roll it. If you know, you know, if you don't know, I'm sorry. You're too young, but you know, you never opened the camera cause that ruined the entire film. So I remember all that. And I don't know. I just never really cared for it. Sorry.
I know. I'm like, cause I love taking pictures. I love it. Everybody always knew, like, even in high school, I had those cameras. I had, like, every stage I had. Like, it started since I was, like, 8. Well, no, probably before that. My uncle always says, every time the camera came out, you were ready. Like, you're ready to pose. And then, like, I think it was, like, 8. My 8th birthday, I got my first, 10 millimeter camera? And it was, like, a little, like, Lion King one. Yeah. And it did that, like, film, you know, you had to like move the film. And since then, like every stage I've had, then it went to where the film would just go by itself. Like everyone, it would just like roll. Yeah. I have a Polaroid. I have a digital. Like I have so many different ones.
Coffee's ready.
So yeah, I like to document everything. So
no, I think I don't think that's a bad thing. I think that's a very smart thing because somebody said to me the other day that memories fade. Right now, you're probably thinking, yeah, when I was like 4 or 5 years old, this is what happened. You're just making something up because ultimately that's probably not what happened. Unless you have like perfect photographic memory, it probably didn't happen. But if you have a picture of that, if you have a video of that, then you can be like, no, this is really what happened. So I don't think it's a bad thing. I get it. I absolutely get it. I just don't feel the pressure or the need to do it. But that's just me.
What about like forming the friendships now? How do you guys feel about like making friendships in our 30s versus when we were in college or even younger than that? What's the difference in the friendships?
I feel like now they've happened naturally, I think. Like they're more meaningful, I guess, now.
Like they have more depth.
They have more depth, yeah. You have more like real life things to talk about, you know? Or go through together.
I think in college or whatever, it's just who you're around and you still have that growth that you need to go through. So you really understand what a friendship is. It's in college, you know.
Well, you're still trying to get to know who you are.
Yeah.
Much less, you know, anyone around you. But, and I think college is an environment that is easier to make friends in versus as an adult, it's like you have to either, you happen to know someone through someone or you work with someone or it's very specific scenarios. It doesn't really happen by chance.
Yep. It's like limited interaction. It's like, where do you find new people, you know, as you get older? And when you're younger, you have a lot more opportunities to meet people. And I think then too, though, the ones that were meant to be because like you're still friends with them now.
What about you guys?
It's definitely different forming friendships now. They're definitely more meaningful. And a lot of that just goes from like my life experiences. I know better. I know who I gravitate toward more than I used to. I can, you know, you get that feeling like I vibe with you or I don't vibe with you right off the bat. It's more intuitive than it used to be. So there's, you know, it's the relationships that are formed now are far more concrete than they used to be, and definitely more in depth as well.
You don't have to force it.
Yeah.
Like, no. If it happens, it happens. If it doesn't, mm-hmm. it doesn't. And that's fine.
Yeah. I think for me, it's harder to become friends with people now than it was when I was younger. But I definitely, like, I'm thinking about all my friendships, right? I have a handful of friends from when I got here. Then I have like three more friends that I made in middle school and high school that I still talk to. I got like one friend from college that I'm close to. And that's it. As far as like me growing up to my 20s, between my 20s, I didn't really make any friends. And in my 30s, I feel that the friendships that we have now are very, like, you have to be picky with the people you put in your circle. Because I, at least for me, I can smell the bullshit. You're genuine or you're disingenuous. And then reality is, I don't have the time and I don't want to spend the time on somebody that's just going to be dishonest, that's going to lie, that's going to just waste my time and just use and abuse me. I don't need that. I don't have time for that. You know, and unfortunately, I've spent that time. I've wasted that time on some people that I've just had to be like, look, here's the line. You did me wrong in this way and we're done. And it sucks in a way because you're like, you hope the best for humanity. And sometimes it's just, you're just hoping.
Yeah, you disappointment. Like, you get disappointed.
Sometimes you just have to do that.
I was going to say, like, you had a good point. It's like, you want to be able to spend your time, like, not with BS. Like, you want to spend that time and energy with friends that are, you know, you can really connect with. So with what you said, right? So how have you guys handled disagreements and conflicts and friendships now? And how has that approach evolved?
I think conversations are far more direct. I am very much like, this is my boundary. This is what it is. And hey, this is a problem that I'm experiencing, if it's a problem, right? I definitely try to make that person aware. And I would hope that my friends make me aware if there's something as well, so that there's that conversation. That's that, hey, this is an issue, because sometimes a person doesn't even know that's an issue. Right. Right. And so to get that opportunity and there's a difference. I've noticed that friends who are really good friends naturally do that. It's just, you feel comfortable going to your friend and saying, look, I didn't agree with what you said the other day about so and such and such thing, right? Like, or, hey, I don't agree with you on that. Like, point blank. And you respect each other and your friendship is so strong that you're able to agree to disagree as well. Definitely now, like, if there's ever a disagreement, the conversation is far more direct, respectful, and we can get through it. And it's okay if we don't agree. We can move forward. As long as the disagreement isn't something that affects my morality, there's just certain topics that are just extremely important in life that you have to have those boundaries. As long as it doesn't cross a boundary for me in a way that, you know, we cannot recover from, then we can move on. We can both agree to disagree and it's fine. And I think those are the best friendships sometimes, because it's impossible for two human beings to agree to every single thing in the world. Yeah. And to, you know, wholeheartedly be on the same page about every single aspect of life. That's just not the way it is. And I think that's what's unique about human beings. So definitely more direct conversations. And I know that there's a difference. So if you tell your friend, for example, hey, there's this thing that is bothering me, and this is why it's bothering me, and, you know, here's how we can resolve it to move forward and continue being friends. If you can have that conversation and your friend is willing to work with you or make a change, that's a really good friend. Like, that's someone who is hearing you out. They're respecting your boundaries and they're putting in some effort. But then if you have a friend who you say the exact same things, hey, there's this issue and here's my boundaries and this is what needs to happen so we can move forward, and they don't reciprocate in any way, then that's my indication for this is a friendship that can no longer be, because I have to respect myself first. I have to put myself first. And that's okay. I know that I am responsible at the end of the day. I am responsible for myself and for my boundaries, my circle, and who I choose to have around me. And that's the beauty of it. You have a choice.
Absolutely. I think with the real friends, you do know that you're not going to always agree. And, you know, people say don't talk about three things: politics, marriage, and soccer. But, you know, like, if you decide to open that can of worms, which I have plenty of times with my friends, it's, you have to go in it with an open mind, willing to listen and willing to really respect each other, right? Because at the end of the day, if you go into it trying to disagree and trying to change somebody, you're not going to. This is a person that, especially if you're in your 30s, this is a person that's already made up their mind about what they believe. Will it change? Probably, but they have their values ingrained in their soul at this point. So with, like, my best friend, we disagree on a lot of stuff. But the beauty of it is that at the end of the day, we know that we have each other's back no matter what. We know that, hey, we may not see eye to eye on politics. We may not see eye to eye on marriage, on the way we approach marriage. We may not see eye to eye on soccer. But, hey, past all that, we know that we got each other's back because we built something from the ground up. And just like with you guys, like, if we decide to open up the can of worms about religion, about marriage, about politics, well, guess what? We're going to be open-minded about it. At least I am. I don't know about you, but no, I'm kidding.
Of course.
But we have that level of respect. Like the other night, we talked about religion, right? Yeah. So we have that level of respect where we may not necessarily see eye to eye. We might not necessarily agree, but we're going to respect each other's decisions because we love each other. We're not here to fight each other, you know? So that's how I see it.
Yeah, I think you have to be open to feedback and not take it personal. And, like, you know it's coming from a good place if you know that it's a true friendship. Like, you know, and not take it personal. And, like, for me, like, I don't care, like, what religion you are. I don't care, like, anything like that. I'm open to, like, hearing if you want to talk about it, like, for you to talk about it. And, like, it's my choice at the end of the day if I want to, you know, change my mind or my perspective on something. But I'm not going to take that personal. And to me, it doesn't matter to me. If you're a good person, that's what matters. Like, your religion, your politics, like, whatever, it that doesn't affect me as long as you're a good person.
I think the friendships really thrive on honesty, for sure, and accountability at the same time. And I think in my experience, I mean, the good friendships have been able to hold us accountable, and we've been open, you know, obviously. I think that's the thing, is making each other better. So being open to the truth, ultimately.
If I have an issue, like, say I had a problem or something you said or did, and I felt a certain way about it, if I care enough about it, like, I need to address it to you. Like, me venting to him all day long is not going to change. You know what I mean? So it's like when they tell you, like, you work with somebody and you have an issue with your boss, but all day you're venting to your coworkers about it. They can't do anything about the problem. You have to go directly to the source. And I think you have to be open to doing that and having those conversations with the actual person and talking about it. And even if they didn't mean it that way, or that's just how they made you feel, like, being able to, like, not get defensive and truly talk through it and, like, resolve that. But I did want to go back to, like, making friendships. I was thinking, like, now that we're older, we all hang out in, like, couples. Oh, so yes. It is a little bit harder because, like, you kind of have to get along with
you
both.
Have to get, now, or, it's two.
Yeah, now it's two. Like, so it's like we're best friends, but
I like hanging out with Meyer, but I don't like hanging out with Yvonne.
You know, yeah. You know? So it's like that too. It's like, you know, you get along with my friends, but will you get along with their husbands?
Yes.
You know,
it's different.
Or, like, can we get along with, like, Vicky, but can we get along with Franco too?
You know better. What I mean? So,
you know? Yeah. So it's like you have to, it's a little bit harder because now it's like, you have to get along with two people instead of one before.
And it's true. And like the beauty of it, though, is when you find the couple, you make two friends, not just one. We found recently that, you know, we made friends with another couple that we had met a couple years ago, and we finally hung out with them again in person now that we live closer to them, and we totally vibe with them. And that's like a really good indicator. If it's a couple, very much like you, both of you, like you just vibe with both of them because they make such a strong unit together. You can see when the unit doesn't, you know, get along as well, or they don't vibe as well, or maybe they're just like, they're very different. There's those types of couples, but then, man, there's a lot of great couples out there. And if you can make friends with those couples, like your friendship group just explodes, because if you think about it, you just made those two friends and now you're going to meet other people through them as well. And if they're good people, then their other friends are just as great too. So there's great in it. There's good things in it too.
I drink my coffee on that.
Yeah, because like through our journey as a couple and making friends, like we did have a lot of friends where we both got along with like the husband or the wife, but we didn't get along with the other one, or not along, but we just didn't vibe.
And that's kind of awkward too. It's because, like, you know, like us, it's organic. We're able to talk about anything. And we're all comfortable here, right? But then,
like, just think, like, about us talking to Franco, and then, like, Vicky's just there, like, nobody's she's not talking, we're not talking to her, and then, you know, it's kind of, it's awkward.
It is awkward. And unfortunately, right, it does not want to make you spend time with both of them.
Yes, it's like, definitely, like, it's so tricky. It's completely different now. So make your friends when they're single and young. No, but like it is because now it's two different people, and now it's like for you to be able to vibe with just make a friendship with one person is hard enough. Now to multiply that by two, I mean, especially in today's society,
and you don't want to make things awkward, but how do you handle that? It's like, whenever you get along with someone and you don't vibe with the other person,
or
how,
like,
do you
make it work? Like, oh, look, you know, meet my friend. I'm like, okay, but now I have to get along with his wife. You know what I mean? So then that's where it's like, what if I don't get along with his wife? Or what if I don't have anything in common with his wife?
Absolutely.
Let's talk about that.
Let's cheese mad about that. How do you handle, you know, a friend that has a spouse or a partner that you don't necessarily vibe with? I think we've all been there, where we've had friends that bring a significant other along, and we just say, "Ooh, yeah, not." There's no chemistry, and that's really what it is. It's a chemistry that you have either with that person or you don't, right? So one of the things that we recently encountered was, hey, we have this friend and he decided to have this person come along with them. And we didn't really want to be friends with this person, not because we didn't want to be friends, but because we just didn't feel connected to this person. Now, this other person decided that they wanted to share everything with us, be an open book about everything. And reality is, dude, I don't know you like that. I don't really care to know you like that, because I'm not going to be like that with you. I have no reason to be like that with you. How does that affect that friendship? I think you see that person less and less. And I think it's kind of organic. I think they either get the hint, or you just find time for different things. Make time for different things. Because, again, we're going back to the whole time thing. I'd rather spend my time on meaningful projects, on meaningful relationships, on people that are going to elevate me and going to make my life, ultimately my life experience, be something that I can look back and go, yeah, I do not regret any moment. You know, I do not regret spending that Friday night with Ivan and Myra doing Hibachi and then doing the podcast. That's what I want to look back at life and be like, I did not waste my time.
I enriched it. Like, I
lived at some lived point. The fullest. Do you feel that guilt though?
No, not anymore, dude.
Did you used to?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I used to feel that guilt because it's like, man, this is my best friend. Like, I'm supposed to like, if I like him through him, I should like his wife, or I should like his girlfriend. I should like his boyfriend, whatever, you know? I think it really come for me because of my, you know, my background in teaching. I find different ways to talk to everybody. I try to figure out what vibes with people. If I can find one thing that we have in common, then I can build upon that. But if we have nothing in common, then, dude,
that's real tough.
We've reached Antarctica, you know, nothing there.
I didn't feel guilty. Mine was more like, I felt bad because I know he wanted to hang out with his friend, but like, I just didn't have anything to talk to his wife about very much. So I would try though, you know, but I felt bad. Or another solution, you just invite a lot of people and then you don't have to talk to, you talk to another group.
The beauty about friendships is you get to choose. You get to choose who you will have as a friend. In a friendship plus one situation, you lose the option. And that is where it does drastically impact a friendship. Because a person who enters a relationship, that relationship to them is of utmost importance, as it should be. And I think when it comes to the friendships, priorities will change on both sides. And I think the best thing to do in that situation is be who you are. You know, like, as friends, you know, I probably have been on both sides. I have probably been on the, I know I've been on the side that I have a good friend and it's not that I don't like the person that they chose for their lives. It might just be, you know, I just don't vibe with you. If I met you separately in your own being out and about, you and I would never be friends, and that's okay. I can live with that. And I'm sure I've been on the side where, you know, there's people that are friends with my husband that may not take a liking to me, and that's okay. And I think, like, on the side of being the significant other who's not a part of a friend group, as an example, because my husband has friend groups, you know, I cannot enter this relationship thinking that I'm going to be one of the guys and first of all, I'm not a guy. Second of all, like, I was not a part of the many years of time and cultivation that strong friendships take. It would be, you know, very selfish of me to think that I can just walk into that and just, you know, be initiated as if nothing. Right? Friendships take work. Friendships are a decision that everyone should be able to make on their own. And so on both sides, I just say, you know, be who you are. Understand that when you enter your relationship with your significant other, that you don't need to be friends with everybody that they're friends with. And that's okay. And your significant other doesn't have to be friends with all your friends. But I will say, it is quite an indicator with relationships, I find, when both partners get along pretty well with all of their friends. I have noticed a huge difference in that.
I cannot agree more on that, because, and I'm just thinking back, like, whenever I met Myra, like, I wanted to make an impression on all of her friends. Like, I wanted to get along with everyone, and that requires effort. That requires, like, you planting the seed and talking, right? But that is just kind of awkward whenever you run into a situation where that effort is not there. And it's, you know, to me, it's like, you know, I've known this person as my friend for 10 years and I don't have anything to talk about or relate to. And it's not because I'm not being proactive about it. I can be proactive about it all I want. But if that other individual isn't engaged as well, like, I'm sorry, like, we're focusing on our friend here. And that can impact, you know, the other friendship as well, because you see less and less of them.
Yeah. And we do have, like, different friendships. Like, there is where we have group chats with both of y'all. And, like, we have, like, friends of Yvonne's that we're all friends now. And we have a group chat, all four of us. And then we have where my friends, it's just me and them. Like, he gets along with their husbands, but they live so far that they don't get to build that relationship. But when they, like, come into town or they come over, they do talk and everything, but we're not here long enough. They're not here long enough, and we don't go over there enough for them to build that relationship. But they get along fine whenever we're all together.
And I've been put in a situation where I traveled. I don't really know these people, but I know I'm going there for Myra and her friends. And then I get put in a situation where it's their significant others, and it's like nothing for me. Like, I'm able to have a conversation with them, and it's like, organic, and it's just, you know, the effort is on both sides. Like, hey, like we're the husbands, or we're the boyfriends, or whatever. Yeah. Have a beer, you know, type of thing. And it's like, that's whenever it's cool. You see the effort on both sides whenever it comes down to that.
You know, my friends too have been really like, they've never made us feel like, you know, sometimes your friends are like, oh, we were supposed to hang out, why is your husband here? Or like, you know what I mean? Like, there's some people that just are just like, why is your husband always with us or whatever? But they never make us feel like that. And he always just like jokes around with my friends, and they've, even if they've thought it, they've never like made us feel that way. Like, they talk to him, they joke around with him, they include him.
I mean, it's better than me just showing up somewhere and having resting bitch face like all the time. Like, it's like, no one likes that. Like, yeah. You just show up somewhere, you're good friends with someone, but their significant other just has resting bitch face.
Yeah, he does a good job at just like talking to anybody and like making the effort. And I do the same for him. Like, if we're going somewhere with work, or we're going, like, he's introducing me to a new couple or whatever, I won't just like stand there like quiet and shy. Like, I'll talk to them and try to make the effort. And then if something like blossoms from that, then, you know, a friendship comes out of it, then it does. And if it doesn't, it doesn't.
Yeah. I feel that reminds me of like the time that you were like, you were going out with some of the friends.
Oh, I was just going to give that example. Okay, go ahead. So I had met new girls. They were super fun up front, you know, very surface level. It was super fun people. And I was invited over to hang out, like a pool outing. And I communicate with my husband, obviously, you know, it's like, hey, I'm going to go hang out. And we're pretty open. Like, you go hang out with your friends, you go hang out with your friends, no problem. And I experienced for the first time, like, a major red flag as I was trying to form a friendship. I was still getting to know these ladies, and some of them were in a relationship and some of them were single. But the red flag for me was one of the young ladies said, hey, next time let's hang out and make sure you don't bring your husband, because I was referring to my husband like, hey, we should hang out. And, you know, I want you guys to meet my husband, and, you know, he can meet, you know, your husband, and maybe we can all be friends. Right. And when I heard that statement, like, it just didn't sit well with me. And even though they were super nice, like super nice young ladies, like very fun to be around, it was just something about that just didn't sit right with me. And I remember, like, I ended up just leaving a little early because I was just like uncomfortable at that point. Like, that's not me. Like, that doesn't reflect my views on things. And I'm calling him on the way home, you know, hey, I'm on my way home. And it just, like, I just blurted it out. I was like, can you believe, like, this girl just said this, that, you know, shouldn't bring you around. And that was a huge red flag for him. And I was like, I just don't feel like I want to form friends here. Like, it's just not my vibe. And left it at that, you know? And so I definitely will say, like, they hadn't even met him yet. And for someone to say, don't bring your significant other around, that's a huge red flag. So definitely keep an eye out for these kinds of things. I mean, maybe it was nothing, you know, maybe I'm reading too much into it. But at the same time, it's like, I could never bring myself to say that.
It's vibes.
It's a vibe. You just kind of know.
I wonder too, like, if they don't want their own husbands around.
That's,
you know,
that's the vibe
mean?
I got. Like, that's the vibe I got. Like, they didn't like their husbands enough to, like, I don't know, have them around. I don't know. I completely opposite.
And I get it wanting like girl time and stuff, but to specifically be like, don't bring your husbands. Like, you know,
yes, like, yes.
To voice that.
But it's also, you know, one thing we've noticed is friends like to hang out with both of us, like to see both of us. And it's so cool because we feel the same about like couple friends. It's like, yeah, love you to death, Myra, but we have more fun when we're all together. And, you know, I'm sure we could do our own things as well, like just you and I, and then you, Franco, and Yvonne could do your own thing. But it's just so enriching for all of us,
because we get along,
all
so
getting
well
along and get, you know, being able to do everything together. It broadens the door to how many activities you can do. And
too, like, you're not splitting your time. So, like, the hard thing is, you know, we're always working, we're always doing other things that you want to spend time with your husband, but then you want to spend time with your friends. So what better way is to everybody hang out all together and you get the best of both worlds?
Double trouble.
What are the best takeaways from friendships? What are, like, the best thing about them?
Yvonne, go first.
I think they help
you.
Oh,
I thought you were going to say Yvonne. He's the best part of friendship.
I was going to say, I think they just help you grow. And holding each other accountable. I think that's what we have. That's what I love about our friendship. It's like we're open and honest about a lot of things. And, you know, just holding each other accountable. And I believe friendships should make you better, you know, and when you have that and when you find those type of friendships, keep them because they're definitely rare to find.
Mine is, I have to read it to you. It says, there is something so beautiful about having long-term friends that have witnessed multiple versions of you and loved you unconditionally. Ooh, through each version.
That's powerful.
That's my favorite.
I've heard that one before.
Dang. I was going to say that, but she took it from me. Gosh, the best part about friendships, it's that tribe. You know, when we were talking about earlier about kids in the other episode, yeah, it just reminded me, like, your friends are your tribe. It's that family that you choose to have, that family that you pick. It's not that family you're born into. I mean, sometimes your best friends are that part of that family you're born into, but I think the best of friendships and the best part of friendships is finding people with different walks of life that elevate you and your knowledge of this world.
Mm. I know that we as humans, like, we gravitate toward one another. So I think that friendship is the most intimate way that two human beings can choose to be in a long-lasting friendship together. The fact that you get the choice and it has to be reciprocated. It can't just be one-sided to be a true friendship. And I think that's something very powerful. I know that friendships can go as deep as you essentially can read each other's thoughts and you just know, or you feel when your friend is not okay. And that's something very powerful. If you have, you know, the blessing to have that sort of connection with your friends, definitely embrace it. Try to fulfill that. Try to fill that cup as well. Don't always just take. And more and more will come out of that in the long run.
Life is hard enough as it is, you know? And so having good people around you to just make life better is what it's all about.
We should do a challenge for tomorrow morning. Text, check in, yeah. Reach out to our friends.
Take 5 minutes.
I'm saying that for myself because I am the worst at that.
That's right. Take those 5 minutes, 10 seconds.
I will do it. And you guys hold me accountable. You'll check in with me. Did you do that, Vicky? You said you were going to reach out.
Oh, I got you. Okay. Don't worry. I'll make sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. I used to be like a really bad friend. Like my friends were always contacting me and I would contact them back, but I wasn't making a better effort. And I made it like a New Year's like resolution. Like I like had to really prioritize it because I really wanted to, but I don't know why I wouldn't. And so I had to make it a priority, but I'm glad I did.
Well, thank you guys so much for stopping by, drinking some coffee and listening to the Chisme. We'll talk to you guys next time.
It was good Chisme today.
That's a good one.